Maharaj, about the, I want to clarify a couple of points of my understanding of it.
Yeah.
Upanishads are the words of realization from a realized soul. Nowadays we hear of mystical experiences from every Tom, Dick and Harry.
Sure.
So we are in a position to not believe, even if it is our own experiences or anybody else's, who are yet to realize the truth. So can I think that we shouldn't give any importance to any of these so-called mystical experiences unless it comes from an authorized scripture or a realized soul?
Now, let me clarify. First of all, every mystic claims that he or she had some mystical experiences.
Yes, ma'am.
You cannot say they are unreal. They are revelations of the partial reality according to the capacity of the aspirant. But what we have to be careful is not to disbelieve the mystical experiences per se, but to disbelieve the people who claim they had these experiences. What is the way for us to understand? If we observe the people who claim I had these mystical experiences, yet their life remains, they remain attached to the world, no better than ourselves. Their character alone proves whether they really did experience or not. And we should not waste our time. If you had experienced it, so good for you. Be happy. But if he is sincere, you don't need to tell. He or she will progress. If they are not sincere, whatever you say, they will be only sincerely insincere.
Sure, Maharaj.
So, let us not bother our heads what these people say. Simply, don't even think. So, if somebody claims, okay, let them claim. What is it to me? Let me look into my own life. So, every mystical experience, if it is real, must bring about a change in our character first. Second, every mystical experience shows clearly that I am progressing in my spiritual life. And we have to develop that attitude. This is all by the grace of God, not by my effort. Otherwise, egotism will come. So, we have to be careful and rely more upon God's grace. Become more surrendering to God. Ultimately, by His grace, we will understand. So, you have to be careful about who claims, and then don't doubt about mystical experiences. Doubt only if you see a wrong character, you have to doubt. If you see a good character, you have to say respect and say you are fortunate. Let me also strive for the same experience.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maharaj, second it's just an observation. I don't know how I'm correct, Maharaj. Acharyas in general, I noticed that acharyas are also realized souls, but their focus is not in elucidating their own realization or the path of realization, but more on establishing or elucidating the already established scriptures.
Okay. The point is this. Whether it is Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, first of all, there is no doubt that they were the most sincere sadhakas in life. Nobody can dispute about that. Secondly, they are all great devotees of God. And definitely God's grace will be there because what they believed, what they preached, they practiced. Third point, so we believe they are realized souls. Once a person realizes God, who will be working through them?
God.
And why this difference? The difference is, some people need that particular teaching at that particular stage of their development. Just like we teach children, you have to understand that the sun always rises in the east and sets in the west. In mathematics, they say, I do not understand much of these mathematics, two railway lines never meet in infinity because they are running parallel. They teach this to the beginners. But when they attain to that, what is called abstract mathematics, two parallel lines meet in infinity. So, either you be at the lower stage or higher stage, there is no problem. Don't go on questioning. How can they contradict each other? In fact, Sri Ramakrishna contradicts himself, which most people do not understand. He says God is both with form and without form, and both beyond form and formless. So, Eviracharya, through Eviracharya, it is God who is giving the teaching, but what is important for us to understand, it's not the philosophy. How many people do you think actually want to understand the philosophy and follow Dvaita, Vishishta Advaita and Advaita?
Very few.
Absolutely few. I think I will say nobody. But the sadhana, as I mentioned earlier, discussed earlier, is the same whatever path you are following until one reaches that culmination of realization, the sadhana is absolutely same. From whichever direction you are climbing the Mount Everest, you have to go through the same rigmarole, isn't it? So most of the people, do you think they understand what is philosophy? They don't understand. They don't care. What they want is, how can I progress slowly from a lower step to a higher step? And they believe in bhakti. Yes, they believe in bhakti, devotion. Slowly trying to synchronize their fate with God's will. So, this is my view. Whether they are realized souls or not, who can tell about a realized soul? Only another realized soul. So, I am no better than you. I cannot say whether they realized God or not. If Shankaracharya had realized God, how can he say, get out of my way? So, what we know, that all of them, tremendous devotion, only Dvaita and Vishishta Advaita emphasize to devotion to both Guru and God, personal God. And Shankaracharya, totally, he says, only Guru's grace. Bhava Sagara Tarana Karana He. Okay, so that is the answer.
So, I heard that one reason why Vedas is not expanded upon is that it acts as a measuring stick for us to protect ourselves and understand what is true knowledge. And it seems that Swami Vivekananda also says something along the lines of the Bible is Purana so long as it corresponds with Upanishads. So is the reason why the Vedas is set in stone because it acts as a measuring stick, or is it more complex than that?
First of all, let us not use the word Veda. Let us use the word scripture. Every religion has its own scripture, which their followers believe as absolute truth. Every scripture contains, let me say, that two things. First of all, it confirms the existence of God, higher world, lower world, etc. Does not the Bible say heaven exists, paradise exists, and also hell exists? Vedas do not deny that. It is exactly the same truth they also tell. Only difference is, earlier, but the people who interpret the Bible says there is an eternal hell and eternal heaven. Vedas deny both, since both are the results of karma. Since karma is limited, both heaven and hell are also time bound. Okay. Now, every scripture, as I said, contains the truths about supersensory knowledge. God exists, other world exists. Only in Bible they don't talk about past life or future life. But we have to take it for granted. Many people believed in it. Okay. Then the second part is how to help man to ascend slowly, slowly. For that purpose, what you call 10 commandments. Do this and do not do that. So, that is also dependent upon Vedic truths. What is it? If you behave like this, then You will. In fact, even though Bible doesn't talk about next birth or past life, when they say after this your death, you will go either to heaven or hell, is it not talking about afterlife?
Yes.
So what it is telling, your present actions determine your future life. Okay, now Christianity has, many of them have changed their view that not eternal hell, but for some time until the sinner becomes reformed somewhere in between. So Hinduism says that in between can be this world itself. So we don't need to argue about that one. What is important is there are certain things like Jesus Christ's father was this and his father was somebody, and they traced their lineage to David, etc., etc. That's why one of our Swamis used to say, first few pages of Old Testament, begat him, page after page it runs. That is absolutely worthless, useless. So that is not to be considered as a divine revelation. Only those truths which definitely point that life is eternal, God exists, and if God exists, what should be the goal? God realization alone should be the goal. If God created the world, if clay became pot, and you break the pot, where does it go? So the whole universe, where does it go back? Because it is the effect. But how to live intelligently so that one can reach, if possible, as soon as possible to our real nature, the destination that I am God, I am with God, whatever expressions you make it. So this is the way you have to behave. That is also Veda tells. Why does it tell us? Because we are unable to say, even if you do some action today, do you know what are the consequences that are going to be? You just shout at somebody. Do you know what consequences will be there in future?
Yes.
You don't know. It may come up next day, or next month, next year, after 5 years. We don't know. But definitely every karma brings its result. That's why the scripture is bound to tell, you do this, then your future will be bright, blissful. You do this, and your future will be hellish. Because we do not know what happens next minute. We don't know what happens after death. These actions are also given by God. This is a formula. You have to behave like this. So these are common things in every scripture. However much the priests or mullahs or others want to misinterpret,